have no idea what loss is.
You have no idea what loss is.
I reckon it's got something to do with that girl.
It's got everything to do with that little girl.
I can take care of myself.
How many close calls have we had?
Can't be any worse out there. Can it?
Every guy in this room is staring at you right now. Maybe they're staring at you. Maybe they're jealous of you.
I'm just a girl. Not a threat.
Oh, Ellie. I think they should be terrified of you.
Welcome to the world of The Last of Us. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for the Naughty Dog video game series and the HBO on Max and Sky Atlantic television series. I'm your host Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is David. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Good, good. So this is kind of the, I guess you could call it, bonus podcast we've come up with for season two. This will be the last coverage piece we do for season two. Anything between now and next season is sort of, you know, in between coverage when we get trailers and casting news or any images I feel like breaking down whenever we get to those, or you know, anything else like that. So we're going to do this in three kind of parts. We're going to give some like reflections. It's been, you know, a week since the season. I'm sure we both read some stuff, seen some stuff, and that sort of thing. And then we have some, we're going to get into feedback first because that kind of ties into all of that. So sort of continuing that discussion. Then we're going to do top five. I've also got two honorable mentions because of course I have, because I couldn't fit. I couldn't just pick five. There's too many good moments. I couldn't just pick five. Sort of top five moments of the season. And then we're going to take a break and come back and do something called Guess the Line, which is where I hand things over to David because he's got all that written down. And I, of course, don't know what those lines are going to be. But yes, we finished season two last week. I was going to, in between last week's podcast and this week's one, try and rewatch the season kind of back to back, and I didn't end up actually doing that. And I think for the guessing the line thing, that might actually been a good thing, because then I haven't had the refresher and that won't have sort of whatever. So I'm sure I'll do that between some point now and next season anyway. But yes, it's been just over a week since the finale. How do you kind of feel about the show?
I mean, I'm sure you've been thinking about it a lot more than I have, but yeah, I mean, I'd be really, I still think it was really solid. I mean, I know there have been a few things online about, you know, was the ending satisfying or not. I mean, I thought it ended pretty well. I think that made a logical place to draw it to a conclusion for the second season. I think the quality was up there. I don't think it quite had the one single standout episode in the same way that season one did with the Bill and Frank episode. I mean, I liked the Joel and Ellie episode a lot, but I don't think it's up. It's quite up there with that Bill and Frank episode. I still think that is the high watermark of like the entire thing so far, but it was still solid really throughout. I thought did a really, really good job. I love the new characters that they introduced. I have no idea where it's going next, so I'm kind of intrigued to see that and see where it does go and whether Ellie is actually still alive. I'm assuming she is, but yes, I don't know. So
cool. Good, good. So I still feel really, really good about this second season. And usually, because we have a... I'm not going to get into explaining it because it's not interesting. We have a particular way that things function at work on Wednesdays. And it's interesting that those types of days happen on the same day I usually think about the show even more because we go to do our sort of, you know, the main podcast for the week, the main one focusing on the actual scenes in the episode. So that's kind of been how that's worked anyway. So that was nice. So I've been thinking again about the more so the whole season rather than just that week's episode. So, you know, over the last 7 weeks when it was, hey, Wednesday's happening, whatever's happening at work's happening at work. Again, not going to explain that because it's just, that won't be interesting. And sort of, I would have that time or spend some of that time like thinking about the particular episode. Of course, there was no new episode for me to do that. So I was trying to think about, in a more broader scope, the whole season. I think one of the sort of key differences, especially from a TV standpoint, is because you had a roughly 12-hour game, again, subtract whatever it is from gameplay for that, and you more simply adapt that into a 9-episode season, or 10 if you count the first episode being longer or whatever, and it matches up more straight in a more straightforward sense, in a more sort of A to B, this to that, checkpoints along the way. And it's not, again, none of making The Last of Us is simple, but it's a more simple task. And then when you have, hey, here's this game that's double the length, split across possibly three seasons, possibly across 4 years, and then stop start every week, again, like the thing I talked about with, like, hey, imagine if you played this an hour a week and you did it over 7 weeks, and every hour a week someone came away and took your controller away, and then when you get to the end of the seventh hour someone took your controller away for 2 years and then gave it, you know, it's just a very, very different task. And obviously Craig and Neil have been aware of that, but the key difference, I know I've kind of explained that before, but the key difference is there because you have the end of a piece of a story when you get to the end of the first game and the first season, there's more of a conclusive sense there. And you got to remember as well, when Neil went to do, and he said things like this in interviews, when he goes to do games, he doesn't do them with sequels in mind per se. Like when he went to do The Last of Us in 2013, he didn't do it in mind with, hey, I've got, yeah, Last of Us 2 is going to happen, let me try and end this in a way so it fits into like a trilogy or whatever. And he's spoken the same way about when he moved over to Uncharted 4 and all those sorts of things. So you've got to keep that in mind in terms of, not only was it a more conclusive end with season one because it was sort of, okay, that's where the first game actually ends, as opposed to this, which is roughly halfway through the second game and you don't have a conclusive thing, but you have a season finale and you have to now take a 2-year break. So they were always going to have that challenge. So in terms of thinking sort of more so about the end of the season and how I feel about that, I mean, that's the spot I've wanted them to end the whole time anyway. So I was very, very happy to see that. And even aside from all the changes they and new stuff and remixes that they put into this second season, I think every single character has ended up in the same spot that they do at that same point in the game. I think so anyway. Of course, got more characters to think about in terms of that in this second part of the story, so that didn't harm that at all either. Again, apart from Bill, because, you know, Bill dies in the first season but doesn't die in the first game, but he's not in the second game anyway. So I felt great about that. I've been trying very hard this season, actually. I've not really mentioned this because I've tried not to think about it as much. Now, we can all have our own opinions about the show, of course. You know, I like it to a certain degree, you like it to a certain degree, everybody likes it to their own different degrees, and we're not all gonna obviously feel the same way about the show. And of course, when you've got something of high production and high, you know, sort of high stakes or a high bar as this, and people are going to really be nitpicking, I've tried to be better this season about, like, if I start reading something online and I notice it's just more nitpicky, to just have more of the urge to just scroll past it and just think in my mind, okay, did I enjoy that bit, did I enjoy that scene, not like ignoring the negativity, because that's also not a good thing to do. Like, if you're just blanking out what could be done better, or, you know, whatever else, because some of those opinions can be worth listening to, because it can make you think in a different way about a certain scene. But I've really tried, I think I've done it well this season in terms of, okay, if someone's moaning about a change from the game, did I like that change from the game? Because I'm the one sitting there watching the episode and having my own experience. And I've done, I think, a decent kind of job with that. And look, it's The Last of Us. A lot of people are going to talk. A lot of people are going to have a lot of different opinions. But my main difference in feeling in terms of the end of this second season and the end of this first one is just because, okay, when you get to the end of the first season, you know if they did or did not successfully adapt that game, because that's the end of that point. I can't sit here and tell, as much as I love this whole thing, I can't sit here and tell anybody or tell myself right now, oh, they successfully adapted this second game, because they haven't finished doing it yet. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I could look at this sample size that we've got. Okay, season two, did they successfully adapt this, let's say, first part? And yes, I think that they did. But it's just not concluded yet, and we'll just have to wait a longer period of time. So, anyway. But, yeah, that's some of my kind of reflections on certain parts. It's just, it feels, because we know it is a different beast, and it feels like such a different beast as well. And it has genuinely helped as well sometimes, because I didn't really listen to, I don't know if I remembered the first season, you know, the official podcast where they say, like, hey, here's why we did this, that, and the other. I don't remember actually listening to that in the first season. I don't remember why, because, you know, it was 2 years ago. And even if it was a case that a scene played out differently from the game, and I go, oh, wonder why they did that, but I wasn't sort of annoyed by it. And then when I go listen to Neil, Craig, and Haley, and of course Troy, who's there sort of poking the questions, and then they explain something, most of the time I was like, oh, okay, all right, cool, that's why you did that. And that was genuinely quite helpful as well. Even with bits that I didn't sort of, oh, okay, I notice you've changed something, but I don't have an immediate problem, please explain it to me, because I have a problem with it. Because when I saw the changes happening on screen, I tried to, in my own mind, come up with, okay, in the moment right now, why do I think that this is being done different? You know, whether it's gameplay reasons, character reasons, or whatever. So that was quite helpful. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyed the 7 weeks. Obviously, it was very busy. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing this again when it comes around for season three. So, let's get to a couple of bits of feedback. We've got two here, and of course you can still write in if there's things that you write in more specific to me or whatever else. Of course we'll get to them when we can get to them. It's weird to do this at the start, but it kind of feeds into the discussion we're having anyway. Of course you can write in to matthew@entertainmenttalk.org. social media is eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. We've got two, as I said. Abed writes in and says, just curious on, I think it's meant to say your thoughts. Just curious on your thoughts on all the negative feedback with the game changes. I've seen more negativity than usual recently. Again, I've kind of done this thing of trying to listen to the more reasonable people, or people who I think have, let's say, their head screwed on more properly, as to when certain changes come up. But then it's sort of, okay, did that person who I'm listening to want something different than what I wanted from this, that, and the other part? Because then those things aren't going to line up anyway. But I don't know, again, I didn't try to sort of dismiss that conversation. I tried to just, I guess, enjoy it more for myself. But yeah, I did see, I guess because maybe it's a finale, and because, you know, tensions are more ramped up, and it's sort of, hey, you've got to make sure you finish, you know, cross the finishing line perfectly, and the expectations are high. So I don't know. I tried to look at that a bit differently this season, and I think that worked. And then there was some more just like over the top outrage, sort of nitpicky stuff that I tried to just dismiss a bit more. So. I also kind of noticed as well, more discussions on from people talking about Craig's specific choices and decisions. And for some of them where I feel like he gave reasonable explanations, some people seemed to just kind of almost dismiss what he said and be like, no, you're wrong, this is how it should be done. Yeah, it's fascinating as well that, not that I want anyone to get, you know, blame on the show for something that they've done, but it's funny when part two actually came out and people disagreed with like certain creative choices, obviously killing Joel and that sort of thing, and a lot of people dumped a lot of the hate on Neil because it was written, directed by Neil, and they sort of almost ignored that Hallie was there. Not that I want Hallie to get hate, but it's like, it's not just Neil, you know. And this time, because Craig wrote the majority of the episodes, it was like they're now ignoring that Neil is still there, Hallie is still there, and there's still other people, you know, behind the camera, people in suits in chairs and all that sort of stuff. But because Craig is now the sort of main man, so, you know, in quotes, the main man, that he's been taking the brunt of the sort of hate. And I found that very interesting, because it's like, okay, well, Neil was kind of the main one that, again, with the help of other people, the main one that came up with this story that Craig is adapting. But because he's now listed as the writer, they felt the need to more attack him for certain stuff. Even though, obviously, Neil, Craig, and Hallie would talk about every single thing that's going to happen in the show anyway. Like, I'm pretty certain and I'm pretty sure. Let's say Craig suggested something ridiculous for the show, or something, you know, wild or unreasonable, or something that changes, something really dramatic, that Neil and Hallie would be able to put their foot down a bit more and be like, no, you really, really can't do, like, this thing. But the discussion around that seems to kind of ignore that, and as if it's like, oh, it was all Neil before, even though it wasn't, and now it's all Craig now, even though it still isn't. Because there's other people behind the cameras, there's more than just a few people in the writer's rooms. There's things like table reads, there's actors' inputs, and there's other stuff. So I found that to be kind of fascinating, that even though Neil is still very much involved, and has said multiple times on the podcast, like, yeah, me and Craig discussed this, yeah, me and Craig discussed that, me and Craig, and like, they're clearly having conversations about this, that Craig has just taken the brunt of the hate. Anyway, what do you think of all this?
Yeah, I mean, there is always going to be negativity, and there are always going to be people that, well, particularly pick up on certain things that they don't like. I mean, the fact that the TV show is different to the game, I mean, apart from the fact I've not played the second game, so, I mean, that doesn't bother me in the slightest, but the fact that there are changes is to be expected. It happens when you adapt anything. And because what works in a game is not going to work in a TV show, mm-hmm. is not going to work in a book.
Yeah,
you know, that's the book's the book, the game, the TV show, the TV show. It's always the case. And there are usually justifiable reasons for those changes. In some cases, there might not be. And there were certainly, I mean, you know, the end of Game of Thrones is a prime example, although they'd run out of material to work from at that point. So that's part of the problem. But there are always going to be changes. I mean, you know, whatever you're watching, and you know, if it's adapted from somebody, and some people are going to like those changes and some people are not. So that's straightforward. The amount of hate that Bella gets for her portrayal of Ellie, I really don't understand.
Or just for existing.
Yeah, or just for existing. But I mean, I ignore those because they're idiots. But you know, I mean, there is a certain amount of that. But I mean, there are certain people who just don't like the portrayal of TV Ellie, and don't like what Bella's doing with it. I think she's great in that role. I think she's doing a really good job, and I think she's had some great moments. It is obviously different to the game, Ellie. That was always going to be the case because it's played by a different actress. And you couldn't have it played by the same actress as played it in the game because she's 30-something at least. So, you know, I mean, I mean, she's a great actress in herself, but there is no way she can play Ellie. So, I like Bella in that role, and I think she's fun when she wants to be. I mean, great example of that is the characterization switch when they did the flashback episode. Clearly tell there is, you know, grown up. There is a distinct difference between grown up Ellie that we've been following through most of season two and the one that appears in those flashbacks. And that's a difficult thing to pull off, you know. So I think she's been doing a really, really good job. And I think, you know, the other casting as well has been great. I think Pedro was great in that role. Gabrielle Luna was good. New characters like Dina and Jesse, I think they cast them really well. And in terms of the story and plotting, I have to judge it by it as a TV show. And I think it was really structured really well, you know. I mean, the second season is always trickier than the first, because that is always the case. And as you say, the difficulty they have with the second season is the fact that the game is a lot longer, so you're only adapting part of it. Whereas season one was very much a self-contained story in a lot of respects. So, I don't know. I mean, we're not saying you can't criticize the show, because obviously you can. But some people are going to like it and some people aren't. And that's just the nature of what it is. But if you're, I think there needs to be something to back that up in terms of, you know, I mean, if everybody liked the same thing, we'd be in a very boring world. And, also, if everyone liked the same thing as me, things like Love Island wouldn't exist. So, you know, I mean,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it's there'd be a lot more comedy and drama and a lot less reality TV on the TV. But, you know, I mean, that's it. The world is what it is. So I think they did a really good job with it. And so I can't comment exactly on whether the adaptation is good or not, because I haven't played the second game, so but so I can entirely judge it on being a TV show, and I think as a TV show it's well made, good quality, with a very good cast. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it.
The other thing to keep in mind as well, and this is something I had in the back of my mind, because I didn't want it to bother me as much, because I've been through the second game so many times, and I know the sort of the tone, where the camera is, the line, the certain, just all of the bits and all the very specific bits and pieces. Because there are even people moaning about, like, hey, they put the camera in the wrong place and the actor's standing in a slight wrong angle and all. And it's like, what you want then is a copy and paste of the game, which in that case, just watch the cutscene on YouTube, because that will give you what you're actually asking for. To okay, put the controller down, play the thing on the screen. That's what you're actually asking for. You're not asking for a TV adaption. You're asking for the YouTube cutscene, which has been out there for 5 years anyway.
And that would be really dull for people that know the game inside out and have played through the game, because I think part of the enjoyment of watching a show like this is seeing how they've made changes to it. And, you know, as you say, if they're getting to the same place, which they seem to have done,
yeah.
I mean,
I think they are. Yeah.
So.
So yeah, I was trying to think, like, are any characters in any different spots? Is anyone alive where anyone's dead? You know, the Walking Dead style. No, not that I can specifically think of. So,
I mean, you've also got to bear in mind, you're talking to two veterans of having watched every single episode of The Walking Dead, and that so dramatically changes from the book. I mean, completely changes from the book in places. There are characters in there that don't, that completely don't exist. And I know you get that in this as well, but there are major characters like Daryl who has become this sort of figurehead for the franchise, who was nowhere at all in the book. There are marked differences, and you get some things where they've moved stuff around from one character to another. And, you know, yes, there is a bit of that in here as well. It happens, but it happens so much more and with so much more consequence on something like Walking Dead, such as killing off Carl and what happened with Rick, although, I mean, not entirely their fault if Andrew wanted to leave. So, you know, I mean, there are issues there as well. But, I mean, there were some just very stupid decisions that they made in terms of the direction they took that show. And they strayed way, way away from the source material in that. You know, it was heavily, heavily remixed, I think is the nicest way of putting it.
Yeah.
Whereas this, I think, is trying to get to the same destination, but they are remixing parts to make it work better for TV. And, you know, that seems fine to me, you know?
Yeah. What I was actually going to say as well is, okay, for people that have spent so much time in the game, because you are coming in here to a TV show, which we're all watching for the first time, while you do have an emotional attachment to the source material, and obviously there's new bits which you don't know about, because things are, you know, said slightly differently, shot slightly differently, timed slightly differently, you don't have the exact same emotional attachments to those same bits because they're playing out slightly differently. But then that's what kind of has to keep it fresh for the show anyway. So although there are, again, certain bits which are like shot for shot from the game, and it's beautiful when those come to fruition. But anyway, so I should probably move on to our second email here. We've got Warren writes in again and says, didn't think you'd do another podcast this season, because usually we just finish with the season finale episodes. Didn't think you'd do another podcast this season, but you said you would. Thank you for your kindness towards myself being religious. I like to try and welcome everyone with open arms and not judge. Thank you both for being who you are and for what you do. Matt, what should I get excited about for season 3? And David, what are you excited about for season 3? There's one last thing as well, but we'll answer those questions first. Again, thank you very much. Thank you for being who you are. And to echo David's, because I can't remember if I did say this last week, to echo what David said last week about things like religion and that, as long as you, aren't attacking other people and you're peacefully just kind of believing in what you believe in, then I have no issue with that either. So it's a point where, okay, if you are believing in something that almost enjoys, you know, attacking other people or get satisfaction from that or something, that's where I do start to have a problem. So so thank you for all your kind words with that and everything. I'll of course let you answer your part of that question in a minute. Matt, what should I get excited about for season 3? Well, I can't tell you exactly what's going to be in season 3, because of course there'll be new parts, but I'm not, because I remember this struck me similarly to you know, when you were poking me with questions last week about, like, hey, you know, it says Seattle Day One, what does that mean? And I was like, I don't want to tell you, sort of thing. So because you'd kind of turned the tables on me, because all season long, us gamers, including myself, had been poking you with questions, and then you poked me with some, and I didn't know what to do. you'll obviously see some of Abby's story, which is hinted at the end of this particular part. You'll see some characters come back, so you will see more. You'll see more of the three that you saw die, so Nora, Mel, and Owen. Because of course, if we're going back to Day One, they were alive at that point in the story. Because what was it? Nora was Day Two, and then Mel and Owen were right at the end of Day Three, weren't they? Or the that night, I think, wasn't it, in day three. So you'll see some of that, and of course, more of the kind of that group's aftermath with the whole Joel thing. Obviously, you'll see more of Isaac and the whole Wolves Seraphites thing. I don't know how deep they'll go with all that. So yeah, that's a good chunk of what you'll see. Of course, we do see this kind of stadium type place at the end, which again, seeing locations come to life from the game is just spectacular. So that was great. What else can I tell all of? I can't really tell you here what I'm excited for, but then I already did do that on you know, the most recent spoiler predictions episode that I did, where I openly talked more about season three. So I sort of talked about that over there, so I won't mention that stuff here. I'm trying to remember what I can and can't say. So you'll see some Abby, you'll see some other characters. To answer your part of David, what are you excited about for season three?
I'm interested to see them continue that Abby story, and you know, which is obviously where we're sort of initially going to pick up, presumably because that's where they ended the series. So we're presumably going to go through a certain amount of time of Abby, you know, getting up to the point that we finished the show at. So presumably we're going to go through a few days of that. I think I'm most interested to find out why you hate Mel so much. So.
Yeah, judging by a few people that have written in, you're all a bit, and I get it, because you know, for TV only people, that doesn't quite make sense right now. So
yes, so presumably there's something that comes up in that.
I'm trying to remember how I felt about her at this point in the game's story, but that was a long time ago. Well, that was a long time ago when those opinions were more fresh in my mind. So but yeah, it's going to be intriguing to see. Again, that might not play out the exact same way I did kind of say in you know, our actual spoiler review for the episode, that there's something that the actress is doing that is a little bit like kinder, a little bit more gentle. I don't know, something different. But again, they're all played by different people, so you're going to get different slight different interpretations. But by the time she gets to doing the things that annoyed me in her part of the story, all of that could be thrown out the window. I can't tell you how I will feel about that until we see it on the TV version of things. So
yes,
so that'll be interesting. Anything else? I mean, there's not much that you can kind of you can really sort of grasp from right now, I guess. So.
No, because I mean, I have no clue what's coming. So, you know, I mean, other than obviously finding out whether Ellie is alive or not, as I say, I presume she is, but how that gets resolved and when we actually get to the point of that resolution, because it will seem that we're going to start off with Abby, and it's going to, I suspect the structure will be, we'll go through that with Abby until we get back to that point. So presumably that's going to take a few episodes to get there, and I assume it's not going to be like the whole season and Ellie's not in it. I mean, it may be, I don't know, but I'm sort of interested to see how they structure it and how long that all takes, and it's going to be interesting next season.
Certainly. And then his last part is a bit more of a jokey part. It says, one last thing, perhaps your football team, Man United, ? Could itself use the help of God? that's not, you know what, I know it's a joke, but it's not entirely a bad suggestion. So,
you know, at this point, I think you'd probably take it, whereas most Man United fans probably would.
Yeah. Could use help in some way, shape or form. Whatever way, shape or form you've got on offer, put the offer on the table. So, I'm half joking, but I'm also really not. Oh dear. Anyway, more on that later. I haven't recorded that United podcast yet this week, so I might do that after this. Anyways, move on from that and talk about our other bits. So we've got I've snuck in two honourable mentions. We're going to do our top five moments of the season. I tried to kind of maybe do one per episode, but it didn't work out like that. But it doesn't matter anyway. Have you got any honourable mentions? Or just five?
No, I've just got five things, I think.
So. Okay. So I thought how we could do this. I'll do my two honorable mentions. And then if we both do our number five, then our number four, rather than...
All right.
Yeah, okay. like take turns and go up the list slowly. Again, none of these are lower because they're worse or whatever. It's just the ones that are higher up. I guess impacted me more or whatever. So, but they're all absolutely brilliant moments. And there's going to be moments that I loved as well that didn't make it on the list. So, one kind of smaller one I wanted to mention here is Emerging from the Woods in episode 3. That was one of the first kind of ones that, this is one of my first two honorable mentions. Because I had, as I mentioned many times before, I've tried to imagine, like, but again, before the actual second season, even the trailers came out, tried to imagine in live action what some of these moments from the game would look like. And that was the first one that, like, properly, fully struck me as not that's a copy and paste from the game, but that was the first one that looked exactly like how I thought it would look from the show, if that made sense. So that was the one that sort of struck me first in that sort of way. So I thought that was a notable moment to put down. My other honourable mention is Where Is She? The end of episode 5. Just seeing that kind of that rage build up from Ellie from the previous kind of episodes. Of course, we'd seen bits like when she started to play, I think it was not Through the Valley. The If I Ever Were to Lose You, I'd Surely Lose Myself. That one, which Joel sang to her earlier. And that sort of, she started singing that, and you could see moments sort of leading up to that kind of part. But then it was the sort of, you know, Nora's poking her with questions, and she's giving very sort of stoic, straight kind of, you know, simple answers, and you could sort of see that rage building up, and then just culminating in the sort of her beating the information out of her, and then just getting more and more anger. I think it was really, really well done. And it was a classic from the, as they call it, the red, I think they call it the red room scene. Some people sort of call it that. On to number five, I'm going to put Joel's death. Of course, one of the first sort of full impactful moments in the series. Slightly strange, I guess, to have a death at the end of episode 2, but it was where it ended up, and I thought they did a good job leading up to it. It was different enough from the game, but also similar enough to the game. There's, of course, you know, the Jackson attack in the background, and there's a lot of stuff going on in that scene. But yeah, the first sort of, there's a lot of dramatic things that had happened before that, you know, the invasion of Jackson and sort of Abby going through the snow with all the infected and stuff. You know, it was a very, very intense episode, but then all culminating in that moment, I thought was excellent. It was really, really excellent. That's my number five. David, what is your number five?
My number five is the sort of relationship between Ellie and Dina, particularly culminating in the sort of aha, take on me scene. Which I just thought was absolutely beautiful, and you know, shows how well Bella can play the guitar as well. But yeah, I mean, I really, really like that scene. I just thought it was lovely, and you've got all this kind of chaos going on, and there's this little sort of moment of calm in the middle of it, and I really rather love that scene. So yeah, that was my number five moment.
Yeah, I completely agree with your opinion there on that bit, and it struck me the same way in the show that it did in the game, that it's sort of, again, in the world of The Last of Us, when you do have, like you said, so much chaos and death and God knows whatever else, and then you just have these just nice, calm human moments, and I don't know how many specifically of them we got, but there's not many of them, so you do really have to make the most of them when they come around, hence episode 6. As well, Which is obviously a key one for that. Number four, speaking of episode six, is the space scene. This is where, of course, Ellie's laying down in the space shuttle. Joel hands her the tape, says he went through a lot to get it, and then she plays it, and it just has this really just quiet moment where she's imagining being in space. She's listening to this, I believe it was Apollo 11 tape. Joel's just watching her just have this moment as well. And again, even things like the lighting, the sort of like the glare across her the screen and all that sort of thing, I thought was a really, really beautifully well done moment. And again, it was great to see kind of, you know, with the behind the scenes on that, the amount of work they put in just to put that in the episode. And again, another one that was like captured really perfectly from the game. So that was kind of, other than another scene, that was because there's a lot of happy parts and sort of more jokey parts in the episode. There is still dramatic moments in the episode, but that was one of the sort of, again, like you said, with the sort of calmer moments, that was sort of one of those key ones from the episode as well. What's your number four?
My number four was actually one of your special mentions. It was Ellie torturing Nora. That scene where she's sort of wailing on her with a pipe. And I just thought the emotion that comes through in that and how she acted that, and the fact that she is, you know, the sort of, I know, you know, we as the audience now know for sure that she knew about the fact that what Joel had done. And I really like how that was just structured and how they did it, and the performance of both of them in that scene, I just thought was really good. So yeah, that was my number four.
Excellent. All right, moving on to number three is the dance scene at the end of, what was it, episode one? Yes, the end of episode one, just before, of course, Jackson gets invaded in the next episode. One of the earlier kind of, because there's a lot of fresh stuff in episode one, a lot of new stuff, like the Abby scene at the beginning, and then even the Ellie Joel scene, like right at the very, very start, and then there's all the stuff with Gale, and there's a lot of new stuff in episode one, but one bit more, particularly from the game, of course, is that dance scene. And that was just, I know we kind of saw it twice a little bit because we had it in episode seven as well, but it wasn't just because, hey, here's a really great bit captured from the game. It's sort of, you've managed to capture what it is, what it does, even the little sort of funny bit where like Dina takes Jesse's drink and just drinks that, and you know, how all that kind of plays out. I'm not specifically including where Seth interrupts, although that's part of that. I'm more just talking about them actually dancing together and talking and kissing and, you know, having the nice moment. I know the moment with Seth and obviously what happens with Joel, that was really, really well done, but I'm more specifically talking about the actual dance scene itself. That was, yeah, one of the first like full kind of ones where it was like, wow, these are the moments. Again, we've been waiting for the new stuff and been curious about that, but what we also care about as the gamers is like, okay, those moments being brought to life on screen, and that was really fantastic to see that. So, really love that one. What's your number three?
My number three is kind of slightly a cheat because it's basically the entirety of episode six, the flashback episode. I mean, you mentioned the one particular scene there with the space shuttle thing, which I just thought was beautiful. But the whole of that episode, just the way it's structured, I just thought was really beautifully done. And I thought Bella's acting, the sort of reverting back to the young version of Ellie, it was incredibly well done. And just seeing that relationship between the two of them, and also how it splintered apart, plus the little sequences like her running up and sitting on top of the dinosaur, and even though I've not played the game, you do look at it and like, this feels like it's ripped straight out of a cutscene, you know. They did such a wonderful job with that, and the fact that there's so much that was cut out of that episode as well, which you talked about last week, or the week the episode was out. I mean, it's just a really, I mean, that for me, I think is probably the standout episode of this season overall. So it's very difficult just to pick a particular moment out of it for me, but particularly that sort of museum sequence, I just really love in that episode.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. All right, on to number two, aren't we? Number two is going to be the porch scene. It will probably be implanted in my brain, hopefully forever. Just the way that scene made me feel the first time I watched it, I just completely lost myself in that scene, which is exactly how I wanted to feel. I was thinking about, of course, that scene and various others as I was coming up with this list and sort of the moments that stuck out and things like that. I was trying to remember the last time I had that kind of reaction to something like that. I mean, I've got an emotional at, you know, scenes and other stuff because, again, people make these things in order for you to feel things. So, you know, the last time I remember sort of getting that emotional or something was maybe as far back as, like, when I first watched Toy Story 2. And, you know, the opening bit where, I mean, I've told this story a lot of times before, where Buzz dies at the start, and it turns out it was just Rex playing the whatever the game was called, and Buzz is trying to like teach him how to play the game. But the context between those two different ones is very, very, very different. So, because of course, one's where I was like, you know, 5 years old, and I didn't understand how you know the rules of cinema and things like that, and I was devastated because this character that I loved, I thought was, you know, dead, and turns out about 5 seconds later he's on the screen. And he's perfectly fine. But yeah, and I cried at both of them very heavily, but for very different reasons, because no one dies in the porch scene. They talk about people that did die, obviously Marlena and all the hospital soldiers and all that sort, you know, the Firefly crew and all that sort of thing. They talk about all of that. But It for me, it's the moment when, like, the camera stops there, she comes back, and you're like, oh, they are actually putting it in here. Which, again, I think is a smart choice. And, I just think for TV audiences, if you were to put that, like, near the end of... Because where you would have chronologically placed that is maybe, like, the second to last episode of season 4. And I think if you put that there and you go, hey, do you remember in episode 1 when she walked past the thing 4 years ago, like how many episodes ago, and then you come back to it, I don't think people are going to remember that as much. So anyway, it made sense to put it there. But the moment you realise, like, oh, they actually are doing that, the camera stops there, she comes back and she stands by the porch, and then us gamers kind of realise, no, they are doing this now. And when they're having that conversation, and... There's a million different things you could pull from all the different bits of dialogue and what it means, and what it means to these two characters, what they mean to each other, and what that conversation means, and you know, how Joel felt about everything that happened at the time. And of course, Ellie wasn't even aware of what was happening at the time because she wasn't even conscious. And now that they're having the conversation about it and what she would have wanted, but then nobody knew that's what she would have wanted because, again, she wasn't conscious. But was it the right thing to do? Was it the wrong thing to do? And there's one particular addition that I like in that scene, which is where he says, like, I love you, and then says, in a way, you'll never understand. Because even though she knows about Sarah, and because of how deep that goes in Joel's soul, like what happened to him there and how much that just broke him, he can't, like, especially in that moment, he can't properly stand there and say, like, hey, yeah, when my daughter died and it broke me and it did this and it did that, and then you came into my life and it did this and it did that, he can't reach that point, but he has to sort of, you know, try and explain that in his way. I also just really like as well that he's so... He knows he has to give Ellie some response in that scene. Right, but he still can't bring himself to speak, and the difference there in the nodding and the shaking head, I just really, really love the way that they did that. Makes you all think what my number one top scene is, but one of the best scenes in the, I guess, the whole franchise, I think. Anyway, what's your number two?
I'm just gonna cry slightly at the fact that you mentioned you were 5 years old when that Toy Story movie came out. Anyway, So my number two is actually the finale, the very final kind of cliffhanger of it, because, you know, you obviously knew that was coming. I didn't. So the fact that you get to that point and there is this confrontation and Abby comes back and you see, like, the screen goes black and you hear the gunshot, and it's like, I thought that was just really, really well done. The way the slightly more shocking death is the one of Jesse, actually, as the fact that he's just dispatched so quickly, and this is a character that you think is going to be around for a bit longer, and you're like, no, he's suddenly like gunshot dead. And so that whole sequence, I think, was just really, really well done. As somebody that doesn't know the games and doesn't know the fates of these characters, I found that all quite just shocking and really, really well done. So, yeah, that I think in terms of just moments that stand out to me, that cliffhanger kind of ending, I think, is one of them. So, yeah.
That's very, very interesting, because my number one scene is You Wasted It. Particularly, just because in between the wait, in between the end of season one, and then when people started talking about, renew for season two, found out it was going to be, you know, split in between a few seasons or whatever we're going to end up doing. And people started wanting, gamers started asking, okay, if it's going to be split, where's the first, if you do, let's say, two seasons, whatever, where are you going to split it? And of course, there was discussion for a long, 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 long time. Man, that way in between season one or two felt like it was about 10 years. And then people wondered, like, okay, is it going to be there, but is it going to play slightly after? Is it going to go slightly before? Is it going to be an entirely different scene? Is it going to be a new scene? There was a lot of discussion about that. And myself, as well as many other people, thought, okay, but that's where that piece kind of cuts off, let's say. And that's where you sort of cut to black in a certain way. So that's kind of what makes sense. There's just something, and again, she's saying, okay, like, you know, you killed my friends and all that sort of stuff and you wasted it. It's not even the case that the you wasted it means, I mean, you could obviously say, there's a million different lines in this franchise you could sit and debate the meanings of and that sort of thing, because I think that's what you're sort of supposed to do. But like I just said with the porch scene, how you could take almost every single line from that scene and it all means something quite deep in terms of those two characters and then separately their relationships to each other and to other people. While the You Wasted It scene doesn't really have that in the same way. Of course, it's Abby talking about, I let you live, you came back, you've killed my friends, you wasted it. Not in the exact same way, but that's what she's talking about. And while that means a lot to her, and there's not, because there's not a deep conversation obviously there between anybody really, because everybody's panicked, who's going to shoot who, what's going to happen next, oh my god, Jesse's dead on the floor, what the hell's going to happen after that, Abby's got a gun, Ellie's had to drop hers, Tommy's on the floor, Abby could just shoot both of them right there and there, maybe that, you know, whatever, also, you know, where's Dina, and all that kind of stuff. It's just, there's something so cool, and there's just something so awesome and so cool about the actual moment itself of, and they do this both in the game and in the show, the way the camera goes up close to Abby's face, whether it's Caitlin or whether it's animated Laura, well, not animated Laura Bailey, but you know what I mean, Laura Bailey's performance, or whether it's live action Caitlin Dever, whether it's either of those, there's something just so intense and something so cool about just the camera zooms in, you can't see anything else in that moment, you can't see anything else around, you don't know if Ellie is really moved much or if someone else, although if someone else moved, I guess Abby would have reacted. You can't see anything else that's happening around Abby, it's just focused on her, and then there's just this rage moment of you wasted it, and it's the way both versions of the character say the line, and then it's just the cut to black because you don't know what's happened next. You hear a gunshot, but you don't know where that shot has gone or, you know, whatever. But particularly for it being, of course, it's not the last moment of the season because we have Abby leaning over the bars and in the stadium, although that's more of like a post-credit scene, I guess we could say. That's the last, like, moment of the current part of that story before we cut over to whatever Abby's going to do next. And because that was also at the end of this 7-episode season that we've all been anticipating so much and talking about all the other bits, but waiting till all through all 7 episodes, and then, because I think I've mentioned, I don't know how many times on how many podcasts I've talked about that moment and gone, right, if you do this and that and lead up to that and this and that and lead up to that, and all the other just moving parts, like the aquarium and where everybody's going to be, is everybody going to be in the same scene? Because some people wondered, like, okay, is Tommy going to be there? Is Jesse going to get there in the same way? What's going to happen with Dina? Is the thing even going to play out in the same way? And it was really, really, really fun to be part of those, or to see those discussions and to be part of them. But for them to actually do it, as much as we can all sit there for months or years in this case, and wonder, are they going to end it there? How is it going to look as well in live action? And then for it to actually play out, and again, for me, these are my top 5 moments. This is my opinion. This is my, you know, whatever. For it to end in the way that I wanted it, and for them to actually do that, was just really, really cool. So again, there's not as much, you know, depth and emotional meaning there per se as such as these other like conversations and scenes. Of course, there's a lot emotionally going on for the intense. It's more of an intense scene than a sort of emotional one. But it's just, yeah, that moment that we've kind of waited for, and you just pulled it off, and I was just really, really happy with that. So anyway, what's your number one moment of season 2?
Well, my number one moment, as somebody that hadn't played the game and didn't know at all what was coming this season, was Joel's death, because that came across as quite a shock. I mean, we talked about, I think at the time, I slightly suspected that may happen because of the fact that when you've talked about the game, you've talked more about playing Ellie than you have playing Joel in the second game. But I didn't know for sure that was going to happen. So for me, it's just this really shocking kind of brutal scene. It's the same feeling that you get at the end of Game of Thrones season 1, where they kill Sean Bean. I mean, we should all have seen that coming, really, but at this point. But it's the same sort of thing of like, oh, they are going to do that. Okay, then. And so, yeah, that, for me, is a moment that really, really stands out. Because, as I say, I had my suspicions, but I didn't know. And it's just the brutal way that it happens. And she's sort of wailing on him with the pipe and or the whatever it is she's got. And it's a really vicious kind of brutal scene, and a morally complex scene. Because we know what Joel did, and we know why he did it, but you can also see Abby's point of view of that, and it's these all these sort of emotions going through it of, well, yeah, I mean, he did murder her father, I mean, he did it to save Ellie, but is that justification enough? And, you know, so there's all that kind of going on in your head as well. But to lose what somebody that's been like a key character throughout the whole thing, I mean, it was just incredibly shocking. And I just thought it was incredibly well done. So, yeah, for me, because I didn't know it was coming for sure, that's my number one scene.
I'd say so as well. It was like the amount of podcasts we've done together, let's say post Last of Us season one, and the amount of Geek Town episodes I've been on, and when we've talked about this second season, and the amount of time, the amount of times like you can't say anything, you've just got to shut your mouth. Like you can't hint. Like I know I've mentioned a lot about like, hey, you play as Ellie a bunch and all this, but yeah, that's why it was great when it sort of, hey, get on the spoiler talks or get on the, you know, on the ones that David isn't on or whatever, you know, those podcasts, and then you can finally just kind of talk about stuff. It started to become less and less of a challenge as time went on, because I got more kind of used to it. But like when we went to talk about like, oh, Caitlin's been cast as Abby, and who is Abby? Who is this person? And I would hint towards like, hey, she's, you know, got a pretty big part and all these sorts of things. I wonder if you go from like, let's say this podcast back to our spoiler free preview. And I mean, I haven't done this myself, but if you try and maybe see if how much I was trying to dodge around stuff and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but like whenever you've talked about deaths or who might die or death predictions, instead of being like, oh, okay, or all those sorts of words, I've just, okay, just sit there and just don't say anything. Just sit there and just don't say anything. So I suppose it's that interesting thing for, not just for Last of Us, but for other shows, when you do have a big major character and they're in peril, right, whether it's they're about to be hung or executed, or they're in big danger, and you try and assess it, and like, okay, who are that person's hero characters or friends who could come along and save the day? Where are they? How could they get out of it? And then it slowly but surely dawns on you. And I remember you said it was the moment for you that Ellie got pinned down, and you have the slow realization that, oh, they aren't getting out of this. And then it just sort of, that sudden realization, and it happens, you know, a lot in things like Game of Thrones, House of Dragon, Walking Dead, that sort of thing. And you realize, like, oh no, this is gonna happen. There is no rescue. There's no nothing helping you. Which was very interesting with the just to go back to the island scene, and when Ellie was being hung, and like, not only is no one anywhere near her, no one knows at all where she even is, and of course she's surrounded by Seraphites, and like, how the hell does she get out of that? And then of course it's the horn thing. So yeah, that was very, very good. I'm kind of glad you did that, have that as your number one. I would say that impacted me obviously less in a certain way, because I obviously knew it was coming up. Again, didn't know how exactly it was, you know, exactly how it was going to happen. Still left an impact on me, but I guess because I've seen him die, I don't even know how many,
I don't even know how many times.
Yeah. But I suppose the important thing for that, it's not like when I come at whatever way I come across that scene now, that it doesn't have an effect on me. It still very much does, which I guess goes to speak to it, but it's never gonna ever be as impactful as like your first time viewing that sort of thing. So yeah, all right, cool. That's all of our moments for the season. Of course, you can write in, let us know. I was gonna like say, hey, everybody write in, and we're gonna do this, write in your own favorite moments, but I wanted that to be a kind of surprise. So but you can still write in, let us know your favorite moments of the season, which ones you didn't like. Of course, there's a whole bunch throughout the season. There's loads of different ones that we could mention. But we've already talked about all of them at some point. Anyway, let's take a quick break. We'll do some housekeeping, and then after that, we'll play Guess the Line, I suppose. We'll be back for that in a second. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcast and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. All right, recently on Entertainment Talk, just to go back to our Breaking Bad podcast, because I was putting, let's call them refreshed versions. This is the exact same audio files. I've had them saved on a different place, but I've had to, due to a podcast error from a couple of months ago, I am recovering certain episodes slowly but surely. I've done, as you'll see in a minute, I've done some big work on that this week. But good news for the Breaking Bad ones. I checked on the podcast side and on the website side, and all of our season 1 and 2 podcasts are perfectly fine. I just listened to like the start bits of each of them, not the whole thing, and then just to see if they were the right ones. They're all fine up until the beginning of season 3, so I'm slowly putting out the season 3 episodes. I've done 3 of them so far. I'm trying to schedule those, and I will basically put those out like through while you're on holiday and that sort of stuff. Then when you come back and we can carry on with season 4, I think that's a good plan for that. But yeah, whatever point you want to come back and whichever season, you can even do it for the weekly season 3 ones now, or season 1, or whatever you want to do. So yeah, that's all good with that at the moment. I did check some of our Better Call Saul episodes. I think I'll probably check those after as well, but those seem to be fine. So yeah, season 3, episode 3 is the newest one. I'm going to put them out on Wednesdays. There'll be about 10 more weeks of them, so one per week. So I don't want to just dump 10 Breaking Bad podcasts on the site and someone goes on there and like, hey, you only do Breaking Bad or something. So I'm just going to put them out slowly, just kind of pace them out, and that will be every week on Wednesday. The next 2 are scheduled. I've just got to do the rest of them, but all in good time. So for season 3, episode 3, speaking of gaming talks of brand new content, we talked about the Gears of War film. It's now found, I think it was a writer and a director, so we talked about that. We talked about the Black Panther game that apparently nobody even remembered, including myself, was in development. This is not the Amy Henning game, who of course also has a history with Naughty Dog. This is not her game, the one from, I believe it's Skydance, the Rise of Hydra, the Captain America Black Panther game. This is not that one. This is one from... it was going to be from EA, and when the news came out last week, nobody seemed to actually remember this game was in development, but it isn't anymore, and the studio that was making it is also shut down. So, yeah, that's that. But we do have a new Black Panther game with Captain America in there in development anyway, so... we'll look forward to that when we see that. And I also talked as well about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth as well. Just a little note, by the way, if you see like this very blank looking thing called schedule test, I'm kind of playing around with, because our scheduling posts stopped working a little bit, so I'm just sort of experimenting with that and trying some stuff. So if you see that popping up on your podcast feed or on the website, you can just kind of ignore that. It's like a 20-second clip or something. It's just for me to test that. So, yeah, just a note on that. Over on some refreshed episodes, of course, there's the Part 2 for Last of Us 2 documentary when I reviewed that last year. That was another one that wasn't playing the correct episode, so I have now corrected that, and you can listen to that as well. Again, that's full of spoilers for Last of Us 2, so don't go and listen to that, of course, if you haven't played the second game. Of course, we've got our actual season finale review from last week, season 2, episode 7, Convergence. That's our spoiler review for the actual episode. Another refreshed episode, which was for What Is Going On with Scream 7, so I put that back on the site. And there's another one for the history of Sir Matt Busby for the United Cast. That was a birthday special I did last year, because I am actually named after him, which is nice. So yeah, that was one that I put up as well, which was good. Of course, there's some more Breaking Bad ones for Season 3, Episodes 1 and 2. So there's those ones, and that's pretty much what we've been doing. Oh, apart from I did a strong must-see review for Thunderbolts. I thoroughly enjoyed that film. I really, really loved it. It's a shame it isn't doing well at the box office, because it's got some really good ideas in it. It's got some, you know, really, really good stuff going on. So if you do get a chance to see that, I highly recommend that you see that. You saw Thunderbolts, didn't you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think it's the film that feels like the MCU is going back in the right direction. Mm. So.
So if you see like negative reviews or whatever, we both recommend that you check it out, certainly. So go and do that. That's what we were doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. All right, I shall hand it over to you for Guess the Line, which is where my knowledge is going to come into play.
Yes, well, I mean, you asked me to look up a few quotes for sort of The Last of Us, and that's what I did. So I'm going to read out a line. You have to give me who said it, basically. I think we'll just go with that. If you can tell me, yeah. I mean, they are Last of Us quotes mainly from the TV show, but they might not all be season two, and some might be from the game. So just bear that in mind.
Okay. Bit of a mix then, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a mix. So the first one I have is, "You have no idea what loss is."
That was Joel.
Yes, that was Joel. It was, I believe, from the game. I'm not sure whether he said it in the TV show or not. The quote I found was from the game. So,
yeah, I think that's the, not to make it sound weird, the conversation, I was going to say the bedroom scene. No, the conversation they have in a bedroom, when that's after Ellie runs off, right? And he's trying to tell her about, like, all that sort of stuff. So
yes, it says during a heated argument. So yes,
that's a good description. Yes,
yes. So the next one I have, I think you'll probably get this, is "Endure and Survive."
Oh, that's Ellie says that to Sam, I believe. Sam or Henry? I get those two mixed up sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's quoting from the Savage Starlight comic. To
Yeah, Sam. Yeah, because so, yeah. they were reading that together, weren't they? So.
Okay. So, after all we've been through, after everything I've done, it can't be for nothing.
I'm pretty sure Ellie says that.
Yes, that is an Ellie quote. It's from The Last of Us Part 1. During the winter chapter.
Yeah, I'm trying to pinpoint. I know I don't need to, but I'm trying to pinpoint when she says that. That's bugging me now. Yeah, anyway.
So, I hope you do a little better than me.
There's two characters that say that. So it's Joel's dad, and then Joel says it later to Ellie.
Yes, you're quite right. It is. It was the Joel to Ellie quote, but you're right. The dad says it as well. Next one. I was never afraid before you showed up.
Ellie says that?
Ah, I got you. No, not Ellie.
Who was that?
It's Bill. During their episode. Frank.
Yeah.
With him talking about, saying to Frank, I was never afraid until you showed up.
How that changed him and that, yeah. All right, fair enough.
Okay, so we've got Save Who You Can Save.
Oh, Tess said that.
Yes, that is Tess. What life?
Oh, Abby said that.
Yes, That's Abby to Joel. So, a couple of potentially trickier ones. You can't heal something unless you're brave enough to say it out loud.
Oh, that was Gale.
Yes, that was Gale. And bomb this city and everyone in it.
That was, wasn't that the Spanish sort of doctor when she's being told, when she inspects that body and then she's like, yeah, you might as well kind of just basically bomb the city. I think it's her.
Yes. So out of all those, you only got one wrong.
Pretty good, which I suppose.
That's really, really good going.
Which one was it again?
It was the Bill line. I was never afraid before you showed up.
Yeah. All right, that was pretty good, I suppose.
I forgot to mention, we have got one little extra bonus thing, which I need to send you a word to tag on to the end of this. So there is a little extra bonus thing that is going to go on the end of this episode, and it was from MCM Comic Con, which I was at the weekend before last. I was down at MCM, and one of the people that we interviewed is Naji Jeter, who is the voice of Miles Morales in Spider-Man. But one of the questions I asked him was about his other role, which was the first role he ever did in mocap, which was playing Sam in The Last of Us video game. So I've clipped just that question out. You can get the whole video interview of that and over on geektown.co.uk and on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/geektown. But I've just clipped the little question where I asked him about the Last of Us. So we're going to tag that onto the end of this episode as well, just as a little sort of bonus thing for you. So if you're a fan of the video game and you like Sam in that, he talks about Sam in the game and also the kid that portrayed him in the TV show, who I think won a BAFTA for his portrayal in the some sort of award. It was a BAFTA or an Emmy or something. He won for that. Emmy probably. I think he won for his portrayal on that. So yes, we'll add that to the end of the episode as well.
Nice. Thank you for doing that. I was trying to think if I could get you to guess anything, but I didn't prepare anything with that. Left that up to you. There's no apart from like really obvious. Like if I say, who said you wasted it? We've already talked about that.
We've already talked about those sort of ones. So,
I've only got the sort of iconic ones that stick out in my mind, and not the sort of
exactly
oddball conversation parts.
Plus, I'd be absolutely rubbish at it. So,
well, it's not like you haven't consumed this, product.
No,
so.
I got a brain like a sieve. So,
fair enough. Maybe at some point in the future. Future. We'll see. All right, that is apart from the interview, which you'll hear after the outro. It's like a little post-credit scene in of itself. Thank you all very much for joining us, David. Thank you very much for being here with me this season. That this was very important to me this second season, and it was lovely to have you on for these spoiler reviews. It was great to just do this whole season and have those different podcasts and just consume and digest this story all over again. And we're not I'm making it sound like we're finished. We're not done yet. We've possibly got two more seasons of this left to go, so and then who knows, maybe a third game, maybe some more seasons. We'll have to just see what the future holds, but already very excited for season 3. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening between now and then, some other stuff going on. Of course, we should be back with I can't remember if you said it on the podcast, but when is it that you're coming back from holiday?
Early September I'm back. So yes, it will be then when we do, or sometime after then when we do Breaking Bad.
I was thinking, okay, when you come back from that, we'll probably do the one Dead City podcast for season 2, because that's probably, they'll probably release that as a box set, so we'll give that one episode coverage, and then probably quite easily by the time that's done and then we get back for Breaking Bad season 4, all of the, let's say, refreshed season 3 podcast should be out, and then we can swiftly move into season 4. And then we can, yeah, can continue that show as well, which, again, if you want to talk high quality stuff, of course, mentioned Vince Gilligan before with great writing and things like that. And if some of you haven't seen Breaking Bad, please do go and start that. It's on AMC, it's on Netflix, it's on AMC in the US. It's probably on AMC Plus or something, right? And then still, I believe, still on Netflix in the UK. So if you want to know where we're going to kind of go next and catch up with that before we come back for season four, I mean, I highly recommend the show anyway because it's still the best show I've ever seen. So yeah, go and check that out. Of course, if you do finish that before we come back, you could also transition to Better Call Saul as well. Highly recommend that show. And then if you do want to catch, of course, Dead City Seasons 1 and 2 for that podcast, you can do that as well. There'll be other stuff going on, of course, in the meantime. Gaming Talk came back yesterday, so that should be swift going forward. I've got a couple of video game reviews to do once I finish some games, so look out for those. Of course, we're still coming out with lots of films. Need to go and see Sinners eventually. And then there's things like Ballerina. And then we've got the big, like, triple sort of July films with, I think it's the Jurassic film and Superman and then Fantastic Four. So none of those are small, are they? Those three films. I'm very curious to see what kind of comes out box office wise on top of that. Of course, this month as well, I know it's gone a little bit quiet, but Pixar are coming out with a new film as well called Elio. The promotion on that film's gone annoyingly quiet because I care about Pixar a lot and I want to see them succeed. So that's coming out soon. You can look out for that. And then any other podcasts I'm doing, of course, going to get one more United cast out the way and then just put Man United back on the shelf until August and give myself a break from that. So look out for that later as well. Yeah, there's plenty of stuff there. And then, of course, there'll be other podcasts on other things as well. So yeah, check those out. Entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk for your TV, games, films, and Man United podcasts. If you want to support the things that we do here, you can, of course, listen to more stuff by browsing the site or subscribing to us on podcast platforms. Just search for Entertainment Talk and get those over there. By the way, if you're on iTunes and if you do subscribe to us, make sure on the settings it says newest episode first, because it doesn't always actually do that. So check that as well. Yeah, Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers for the ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news. Speaking of Geektown, Geektown Radio Tuesdays, there was a new one, yes, yesterday. I forgot what day it was. New episode yesterday, so go and check that out. You can, of course, go from here to there. And check out the newest TV and film news on Geektown Radio and Geektown Radio Tuesdays and Geektown.co.uk. David, that is indeed yours. What's going on over there?
Yeah, Daryl was on for Geektown Radio this week, so always brings some interesting reviews for yeah. that. So we did Mission Impossible Final Reckoning. He did a review of that. There's a sort of anime live action thing called Bet, which he reviewed, which is on Netflix. Fear Street Prom Queen as well. And we talked quite a lot about the Doctor Who finale because of all the stuff that's been going on around that. So that was sort of a lot of the stuff that we did. Plus there's air dates and loads of other things on that. The website, of course, has got air dates, which are being updated. We've had some new stuff in for premiere date for Slow Horses when that comes back on Apple TV. There is a new show the BBC have commissioned, which sounds quite interesting, called Crookhaven. We've got some vague dates for the return of SWAT and Fire Country in the UK as well. So there's all that sort of stuff. And as I mentioned earlier, all the stuff that we did for MCM Comic Con is now up on a post on the website as well as on the YouTube channel. So that's interviews with Dan Fogler from Walking Dead and Fantastic Beast, the full interview with Nadi Jita, who will be on the end of this podcast talking about Spider-Man Miles Morales and a little bit about The Last of Us. A couple of the people from Star Wars The Bad Batch. We've got Anjali Bamani, who is a voice in Overwatch and Critical Role and Avowed and a bunch of other things as well. Some of the Power Rangers. Hilarious interview with Patton Oswalt and his writing partners for their comic book Minor Threats, which you mentioned Ryan Coogler's Sinners there. devolves into a review and them three of them fanboying just for the entire thing about Ryan Coogler's Sinners. Like, literally half that interview was them doing that. We're like, you are here to promote your own stuff, you know. So that was quite entertaining. And there's a couple more videos as well, and some stage panel stuff with David Tennant and Patton Oswalt as well on stage. So it was a really, really fun event. We got some great video stuff from that. So that's all up on the website and up on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown. And you can also get the podcasts on the YouTube channel as well as everywhere else you get your podcasts.
Excellent. So go over there and get all that good stuff over there for all the TV, film news, interviews and all that sort of thing as well. Also, just to I guess plug something individually for Geektown, which I don't usually do. If you're a fan of Buffy, and of course there's the new, is it reboot, revival? I can't remember which term they're using. You did, what was it that you did for that again? An interview?
James Masters, yeah. If you go back a few episodes in the Geektown Radio feed, there is an interview with James Masters, if you are a Buffy fan, who played Spike across Buffy and Angel, and that's sort of 20, 25 minute interview with him where I got to sit down and talk to him about that. That was because Buffy and Angel are now available on ITVX in the UK, I think, as well as on Disney Plus, but they're also available for free on ITVX. So you can go and sort of catch those up there. But they gave me some time with James Masters to catch up, and he talks about the bit about the revival and just, you know, getting into doing Spike and all that sort of stuff. But he was lovely. It was a really, really fun interview to do that. So you can get that up on there as well.
Awesome. So go and check out all of that. Speaking of YouTube as well, we're on Entertainment Talk Plays on YouTube. And I assume if you're here, you like Last of Us in some way, shape or form. I've been putting up some clips and some other stuff. I played as Mel in No Return. I was actually quite good as her because she can craft, what was it, 2 medkits at once. And that was very useful. So playing as this character that I don't really like, but she's actually very good. And then I punched a lot of people as Abby, and that was very satisfying to do because, of course, all the gameplay, combat and stuff. So you can check out all the clips and bit. I put some new stuff up there recently and some quite funny COD moments as well. That's the sort of thing you'll find on our Entertainment Talks YouTube channel. It's just the odd streams, bits, clips and just other stuff. So go and get stuck in over there. That's Entertainment Talk Plays over on YouTube. All right, that's unfortunately it for season 2. And we'll be back next time with whatever else is next. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Stay tuned for the interview.
Yep, that too. Yep. Goodbye.
Bye. Sam was another character played in Last of Us. One of my podcast co-hosts is a enormous Last of Us fan.
Yeah, I love it.
4 podcasts going round for the team.
I love it.
I just wondered, how was it playing that role in the game, and what did you think of what they did with the TV adaptation of that character, which was slightly different, but it was beautifully done.
Yes. Likewise. Okay, so The Last of Us was my first video game ever. Yeah, my first game, my first introduction into the mocap world was with Naughty Dog and Sony, and I owe everything to Neil Druckmann. Those guys, not the Naughty Dog team, are... Man, I loved y'all so much. So just to say all that, so that was my first game. And I stepped into that game when I was like 13 or 14 years old. And man, it was a trip. You know, it was definitely a trip because being a kid and then coming from, you know, already being in the theatrical world, I'd already done, you know, certain movies that, you know, hit the limelight and, you know, that saw that's part of the industry. So I was very new to this mocap world. I was very new to this video game and everything. As a kid, I'm like a kid in a candy store. You know, I'm like, oh, this is how this is made. I'm like, oh, this game was made with this, you know. So I'm like learning all this stuff. So it was just a big playground for me at the end of the day. And Neil asked me, he was like, are you ready to be a zombie today? And I was like, yeah, I'm ready to be a zombie. What? He was like, okay, give me your best zombie rendition. I was like, okay. He was like, no, we're not doing that. So, you know, so he was like, so it was like a growth process, but also fun. Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson, you know, who played Troy and Ellie, they were helping me with school on set. Yeah, they were helping me complete some school on set so we can, you know, hurry and get back to work. So that process was just fun, man. And then 10 years later to see it, you know, get the shine that, you know, that they put into it. You know, it's crazy. And Kevon, so he actually won an interview. He won an Emmy for that role. And it's so crazy because I got a DM from his mom. Saying that, hey, you know, he's a big fan of Miles. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm a huge fan of y'all. You did an amazing job, da 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 da. Because Troy ended up telling me at the premiere of The Last of Us, the first season, he told me, he whispered in my ear. He was like, wait till you see what they did with Sam. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then Miles, you know, incorporating ASL into our game, you know, that was kind of like a best of both worlds, I want to say. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Kevon, he's a huge fan of Miles. And, you know, he's, what, 7, 8 years old? Yeah, like 9 maybe now. So, you know, shout out to Kevon. Love you, little bro. I haven't met him yet. But yeah, congratulations on your Emmy. And, yeah, he did an amazing job, man. They couldn't have casted anybody better, to be honest, and made that switch any better, to be honest, because it was a little more heartbreaking when you really put the logic into their world and what he, yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy to really think about that. Like, what if, you know? Yeah, what if, yeah.